Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger and discipline, in your anger or discipline me in your wrath. Your arrows have pierced me, and your hand has come down on me. Because of your wrath, there is no health in my body. There is no soundness in my bones because of my sin. My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. My wounds fester and are loathsome because of my sinful folly. I am bowed down and brought very low. All day long, I go about mourning. My back is filled with searing pain. There is no health in my body. I am feeble and utterly crushed. I groan in anguish of heart. All my longings lie open before you, Lord. My sighing is not hidden from you. My heart pounds. My strength fails me. Even the light has gone from my eyes. My friends and companions avoid me because of my wounds. My neighbors stay far away. Those who want to kill me set their traps. Those who would harm me talk of my ruin. All day long they scheme and lie. I am like the deaf who cannot hear, like the mute who cannot speak. I have become like one who does not hear, whose mouth can offer no reply. Lord, I wait for you. You will answer. Lord, my God, for I said, do not let them gloat or exalt themselves over me when my feet slip. For I am about to fall, and my pain is ever with me. I confess my iniquity. I am troubled by my sin. Many have become my enemies without cause. Those who hate me without reason are numerous. Those who repay my good with evil lodge accusations against me, though I seek only to do what is good. Lord, do not forsake me. Do not be far from me, my God. Come quickly to help me, my Lord and my Savior.
Do you remember that? Back in March, the actor Will Smith walked up to the front of the stage at the Oscars ceremony and slapped the presenter who just made a joke about his wife. It made headline news around the world. And this Friday, just 2 days ago, Will Smith released a video, I don't know whether you saw it, apologising for his actions. He talked about the effect of what he'd done, of the shame that it had caused him, of broken relationships, of recognising the far-reaching effects of what it had done and the effect that it had had on the family of the comedian that he'd hit and the effect on his family. And he said how sorry he was. And you can hear him sighing. And he does look visibly burdened and low and bowed down. It's that sort of picture that David paints for us here, isn't it, of David's situation in Psalm 38. It doesn't sound very kingly, Psalm 38, does it? It sounds more like a broken man. Broken, weighed down by his sin. Psalm 38 is one of what are called the Psalms of Penitence. Psalms of regret, of sorrow, of repenting for sins. So what can we learn from this Psalm of Penitence this morning? Well, firstly, in verses 1 to 10, we see a suffering sinner. David is suffering here in Psalm 38, isn't he? And he cries out to God with the burden of it all. But here's the thing, and we'll explore this, but here's the thing. He relates his suffering to his sin, doesn't he? It is verse 3, because of your wrath. Because of my sin, verse 3. Again, because of my sinful folly, verse 5. He's suffering because of his sin, as far as David is concerned. And he cries out, Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath. Now, God's wrath, it's not an uncontrolled outburst. It's not an uncontrolled rage. It's God's settled, consistent, controlled, holy, righteous anger at sin. And David feels it. It's like God has shot arrows into him, like God's hand is weighing heavy on his shoulder. And it's affected his whole being. It's affected his body. Look, verse 3, there's no health in my body, no soundness in my bones. Verse 5, my wounds fester and are loathsome. Verse 7, my back is filled with searing pain. There is no health in my body. And it's affected his soul, his inner self, his inner being too. Verse 4, my guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. And verse 6, I am bowed down and brought very low. All day long I go about mourning. Verse 8, I'm feeble and utterly crushed. I groan in anguish of heart. Well, we're not told exactly what David is suffering, but we get a real sense of it. We feel it, don't we? Maybe you can associate with it. And it is true, isn't it? Physical suffering can affect our emotions, our inner self, our soul, and vice versa. And David, he's lost all of his sparkle, all of his joy, all of his zest for life. Maybe verse 10 you felt before. Maybe verse 10 you feel now. My heart pounds. My strength fails me. Even the light has gone from my eyes. But look, in his suffering, David hasn't given up on God. He hasn't turned away from God, has he? And so often that can be a temptation for us when we suffer. But David doesn't do that. He takes it all and puts it back to God. God already knows, but he gives it back to God. Verse 9, all my longings lie open before you, Lord. And David still trusts God to care and to answer. And ultimately, despite his conviction of his sinfulness and God's anger at that and God's wrath, still he asks God to help him and save him. He hasn't given up on God's mercy. And so if David's words of suffering, if his words of guilt, if they resonate in any way with you this morning, don't give up on God. Don't turn away from God. Keep on bringing it to him. The picture David paints here of himself, it's very much that of a suffering sinner. And as we said, he connects the suffering, his suffering, with his sin. Because of my sin, well, we have to ask, don't we, what are we to make of that? Is all suffering connected to our sin? Well, we know from the book of Job that not all suffering is connected. Not all personal suffering is connected to personal sin. And we know from John chapter 9, a man who's been born blind from birth, Jesus' disciples say to him, Lord, Whose sin is it that caused this man's blindness? Was it his or his parents? What does Jesus say? He says, neither. But here is David in Psalm 38, clearly making the connection between his sin and his suffering. So where do we go with that? Well, one commentator very helpfully says this. He says, it's wrong to think that it is never the case that suffering comes as a result of sin. And it is wrong to think that it is always the case that suffering comes as a result of sin. And we know from Hebrews 12, don't we, and from Proverbs, that the Lord disciplines the one he loves. And in this case, David's suffering has humbled him and given him this awareness, this deep awareness of his sin. It has troubled him. And that can often be the case with us as well, can't it? Often when things are going well in life, we think, well, everything's okay in my world. I'm all right. Thank you very much. And we don't consider sin so much. But God does, and God can use suffering and pain to waken us up to spiritual realities. C.S. Lewis famously said in his book, The Problem of Pain, pain insists on being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. And so if suffering causes us to become aware of our spiritual state, of our sinfulness, of the depths of our hearts, of our rebellion against God, then, well, surely that's a mercy of God. Surely that's his grace at work, because it's better to have a sense of God's wrath at our sin and his anger at sin now, before it's too late, whilst we can turn to the Lord Jesus and be saved and forgiven, than when we stand before him in judgment, when it's too late. David is troubled by his sin, verse 18. And I suspect that the truth for many of us is that we're simply not troubled enough by our sin. The world tells us, doesn't it, that sin is just a bit of fun. It's sin that adds a sparkle to life. But we know that at best, that is fleeting. And in so many cases with sin, just like Will Smith's moment of madness at the Oscars, the effects are far-reaching and go far beyond all that we can imagine and realise, and are painful and hurt and are an offence to a holy God. David's suffering has brought him to a greater sense of that. And maybe we need a greater sense of that too. Well, secondly, we see, as we move on in the psalm, we see David is the lonely sinner. David he's at a low point. That's an understatement. He's at a low point. Life is hard. He feels overwhelmed. He's lonely. How's he going to get by? With a little help from his friends? No. Verse 11, my friends and companions avoid me because of my wounds. My neighbours stay far away. And sadly, that can often be the case, can't it? And even if maybe it isn't the case, it can often really feel like it's the case. And David's friends here really do avoid him like the plague. Perhaps they think what he's got is catching. And it's odd, isn't it? Because David is the king, and kings, royalty, well, normally they draw people to themselves. People want to be around them and with them and close to them. But when David needs his friends are nowhere to be seen. Job finds the same thing with his friends in the middle of his suffering. He says in Job 6, they are as undependable as intermittent streams. As undependable as intermittent streams. Maybe you felt that. Maybe you've experienced that people aren't sure what to say or do, and so they say and do nothing. And they stay away. The author, Nancy Guthrie, says this about grieving people, but I think it applies to suffering people too. She says this. She says, here is what grieving people wish others would understand. Grief is incredibly, relentlessly lonely. It really makes a huge difference to be reminded that we are not forgotten and that our loss is on the radar of people around us. Is that something we need to hear? I think it is. Suffering, whether it's the result of or caused by sin or whether it isn't, is a dark and a lonely place to be. So let's not be like David's friends to one another here at CCT and make it worse. David's friends are no help. What about David's enemies? Well, they sense an opportunity, don't they? Let's kick him whilst he's down is their approach. Verse 12, we read, those who want to kill me set their traps. Those who would harm me talk of my ruin all day long. They scheme and lie. Nothing is going right for David. No one is for David. He's got no one to turn to except. David turns to God. And he brings it all to God. In verses 13 and 14, to those around him, he's cut himself off. He's stopped speaking. He's stopped listening. But not to God. Verse 15, Lord, I wait for you. You will answer, Lord, my God. He knows that there is one he can count on. Always. God. And that is remarkable, isn't it? Given what we read at the start of the psalm about being aware of God's wrath and anger at his sin. And yet David still feels able to come to God in his despair and his loneliness and call on God to answer him. I wonder, is that wishful thinking for David? Is it wishful thinking for us? Well, you'll be pleased to know the answer is no. because our third point is the hopeful sinner. David seeks God, and he ends in verses 21 and 22. Lord, do not forsake me. Do not be far from me, my God. Come quickly to help me, my Lord and my Saviour. Despite the fact that his sin incurs God's wrath, he realises that it's only God who can help him. And he appeals to God's mercy not to forsake him, not to leave him alone, and to save him. Can we do the same? Can we sing David's psalm and make it ours? Well, we can when we see that Psalm 38 is ultimately all about the Lord Jesus, King David's greater son. Jesus says this in Luke 24. He says, everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms. And when we see that Psalm 38 ultimately is written about him, about Jesus, we can have the same hope that David has. In fact, we can have a greater hope than David has, because all that David went through here in Psalm 38, the Lord Jesus went through, not because of his sin, but because of my sin and your sin. Can you see what happens when we insert Jesus into Psalm 38? Jesus, as he hung on the cross, his back, no doubt, was filled with searing pain. His friends deserted him when his enemies, who had no cause, plotted his death. He was silent before his accusers. He suffered God's wrath at the cross, and he cried out, "Do not forsake me." And that passage we read earlier, Isaiah 53, well, that fits here too with our psalm, doesn't it? Words about Jesus, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was pierced for our transgressions. By his wounds we are healed. And verse 20 makes more sense when we put it in the mouth of Jesus too. David is laid low, bowed down by his sin, and yet in verse 20 he's able to talk about his good, and that he seeks only to do what is good. Well, it is only Jesus who can say, "I seek only to do what is good," isn't it? David went through all of this, he says, because of his sin. Jesus went through all of this because of our sin. Jesus' burden was great because he carried the sin of the whole world, suffering body and soul and loneliness and injustice for us. How do we know that God will help us and save us in our suffering and help us and save us from our sin? Because as Jesus said the words of this psalm, his Father heard him and raised him from the dead on the third day. And so when we cry out, "Lord, do not forsake me, do not be far from me, come quickly and help me, my Lord and my Saviour," as we wait for the Lord, we know that he has and he will help us and save us because of Jesus. And we know that as we suffer, there is nothing that Jesus hasn't suffered already ahead of us and before us. And so, are you troubled by your sin? Whether it's played out in front of many, or whether it's just between you and God, take it to Jesus and put your trust in him, and know that God's wrath has fallen on him instead of you. But maybe you're not so troubled about your sin. Well, as we read Psalm 38, read it again and look to what Jesus went through for your sin. That he loved you to go through this, to take the punishment in your place. Look to Jesus and see that he calls you to bring your sin to him, to lay it at the foot of the cross, and to come to him and say, "My Lord and my Saviour, I put my hope in you." Let's pray. Father, we thank you that as David suffered, so we can sing Psalm 38, pray Psalm 38, and make it our own, because the Lord Jesus, King David's greater son, suffered in our place and for our sin. He was burdened and laid low. He went to the cross that we might be able to pray with the same hope that David has here and might know that when we call upon you for help, when we look to the Lord Jesus for our salvation, that we have it in him. Because you heard his cry and you answered it and you raised him from the dead. And so we, with him, united to him by faith, know you with us, whatever we might be suffering and whatever our sin. Father, help us, cause us to be troubled by our sin and to bring it to you and to bring it to the Lord Jesus. For we ask in his precious name. Amen.